Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Bert Cloud with your Sunday forecast, and it's quite the forecast. There's some stuff going on, and you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is that it's a little bit different forecast for today, and that's because I have Randy Aspie with us to talk a little bit. I just learned that Randy is a weather guru. He's mad at me now already for saying that. Randy actually has a very long and very storied career working within the meteorological world and life, both, you know, for a while as a forecaster within the United States Air Force, but also then being with the federal government and the National Weather Service in lots of different ways. We had a conversation a little bit earlier today, and he was kind of sharing some of the things that he's done, and he's done some stuff. I just learned last night about your career and your work, and you shared some really important things with me about some of the things that you've done throughout that work. But also, particularly, I want to talk about the whole business of forecasting, right? Because you know, this is, you know, this is the Sunday forecast. I kind of used to, when I first started doing this, I would kind of say, and this weekend the forecast is, you know, and I would read from whatever the, you know, the Capital Weather Gang or whoever was, you know, saying. But then I realized that I was recording it so far out in advance that it meant nothing. But really, it was about, you know, what we were doing here at church on Sunday. But, you know, the forecast is pretty doggone big for this weekend in terms of snow and the like. And I wanted just to kind of get your perspective on, you know, as a person who has worked in this field and knows things, you know, what it is to kind of like make sense of forecasts like this, because a lot of people are trying to, you know, make sense of, well, I heard so-and-so on this TV say it was this, and then, you know, people are like, oh, no, it's just going to be 1 inch, you know, and some people are like, it's multiple feet that we're looking at and that sort of thing. So could you kind of talk about this whole business of being a good consumer of a forecast?
Sure. As all of you know, the forecasters on TV and on the weather news have been starting talking about this since last weekend.
Yeah.
And of course, with a storm that's a week away, they're totally depending on models. And models, there are dozens of models out there. They tend to use the Euro model, which is one of the biggest ones in Europe, and the GFS, the Global Forecasting System, which is one of the big models in the United States. But these models, all the models, use different starting points. Mm. They initiate differently. They use different inputs. And they have different algorithms, all of them highly, they're totally updated constantly to try to make them more accurate. But under different weather conditions, different models act differently, and some are better than others. And the forecasters who work in this business understand which ones might be better in which situations.
Right.
And as you saw, if you were watching it carefully on Monday and Tuesday, the GFS model showed a lot of snow here for the United States, but the GSF was showing next to nothing. So that's why you got some different viewpoints. But as we get closer to Sunday, when it looks like the weather's going to be bad, the models are starting to come into agreement. And as we get closer and closer, just like when they, as you've seen when they forecast a hurricane, you'll see those spaghetti charts out there with models taking the storm every which direction. Well, as it gets closer and closer to happening, those models will come in agreement with each other eventually.
Right.
And they're coming into agreement now that we could get a lot of snow this weekend.
We're getting closer and closer.
Yes.
It's still possible that, you know, it'll all just kind of poof and you know, something will
again, intervene. If the track of the storm just moves 30 miles or so, it can mean all the difference in the world.
For sure.
Again, the farthest out you are, the less certainty of where that track is going to be.
Right. So we are getting closer to it. You know, I saw somebody say the best way to predict the weather is to look out the window.
I've heard that before.
and maybe, you know, there is the wisdom of actually being in the moment, you know, of actually seeing, well, it's snowing. Well, it looks like it's going to snow probably some more, you know. But I think, you know, a more sophisticated way of looking at it is how do we anticipate what's going to happen, but also how are we doing to prepare for what happens next. So that's the value of the work that you've done. So the business of being able to look at things and start to try to predict is really important and a helpful kind of way in order to prepare. And so I used to, you and I were talking earlier, I used to work in a radio station and worked in broadcasts in different ways before. And I would be surprised by how angry people would get. I just read the stuff, you know. But then people would call up, you know, when the forecast was wrong, that people would call it mad. It's like, you said that it was going to do this. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, what am I going to do? The idea that there are different models and different ways to kind of work with the data set and the assumptions that are being made about what is going on influences the predictions. And some predictions are really helpful for certain situations, but then those assumptions fail in other situations. It's kind of like, you know, the difference between a Phillips screwdriver and a flathead. You know, you've got to, you know, use the right tool for the right kind of circumstance. And so it made me think in a lot of ways about, you know, some of the, this is the Sunday forecast. We are kind of talking about what's coming, you know, for the weekend, but we're also talking about, you know, what is kind of like hoped for spiritually, you know, in our encounter with the scriptures, in our worship life and the like, and also in our life as a community. And so, you know, it seemed like there are assumptions that we make sometimes walking in, or worries that we have, you know, kind of walking in, and that makes a big difference in terms of how things move forward and the accuracy of the assumptions and the forecast, but also the experience of it as well. Because you can walk in thinking, you know, it's going to snow, and be deeply disappointed, you know, or you could walk in thinking, oh, this is going to be terrible, and you were thankful that you were prepared because you had that. A lot of people are wondering how to prepare for this storm. I was telling you, I have my snowshoes ready to go. They're in the garage. I've never used them on the East Coast, and you know, so it was like, what are we going to do? But what kind of things do you think would be helpful for people? And I know I'm just kind of putting you on the spot here, but what might be a good way to kind of approach this next storm? By the way, we're recording this on 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, so we're still even watching the weather.
Well, my wife's already been thinking about that kind of stuff. We've got a lot of firewood. We've got a wood-burning fireplace. Mm-hmm. She said we need to make sure we have, in case the power goes out, which we should not. This is a very, very dry snow. It's not going to be accumulating on trees and such, so we shouldn't have the power outages that sometimes
hope
we
not.
Have.
Yeah, good.
So, but it's going to be really cold next week. And so you got to be prepared to dress warmly.
To stay warm.
Dress in layers. Be prepared. Again, I don't anticipate, even if we get a lot of snow, it having a major impact on things.
But right.
You never know.
Right, right.
You get 2 inches of snow around here and it has an impact. So.
People see, like, you know, a little dandruff, you know, and they're thinking, oh, we're in trouble. You always have to be prepared for, you know, your own kind of ability to drive and that sort of thing, but recognize that other people, you know, might be from Texas where it doesn't snow a lot, you know, not to pick on people from Texas, but, you know, people from Florida, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. So doing the things that would be helpful, it's not necessarily to go out and buy a side of beef, you know, and a keg of milk or anything like that, but just having those supplies and being able to dress warmly and drink lots of water, because people get dehydrated in the midst of really cold snaps and things like that. Of course, you'll have like a lot of water in the ground, but you got to melt that or filter it or do something with it. So, Randy, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. I know we just kind of quickly arranged to spend some time together, and I'd like to have you back some more. We can talk about some other things. Randy's very involved in the life of our church, certainly with with our worship life and with SAG and trustees and so many things. And so let's get you back in here, and we'll talk about other things. Randy Ashby is part of our community here at Sterling United Methodist Church, is a leader in so many different ways, and is a beautiful soul. And so I'm very happy that we're connected with this community together, and I'm thankful for you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So obviously we are looking at the forecast really carefully, as well as everybody else. And if it snows in some of the ways that people are indicating that it may, then we will cancel our in-person worship services. I don't want you out and about unless you absolutely have to under these circumstances. Look for information from the church about that. Please, you know, use your good judgment as you just kind of look out the window or in your driveway. It's like, I don't know if I can make that or not. And one way or the other, we will have an online presence. We do that at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live and on YouTube, and happy to connect with you in that way for this particular week, as we would need to. So please know that we'll be very, very cautious and try to be wise, and, you know, rather than having people come out in in-person way, we will love to kind of connect with you online as we would need to under these circumstances. So anticipate that for sure. Now, during these next few weeks together in our worship experiences, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. John is the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And John is a really great book to be reading. And so if you've never really kind of sat down and read through the Gospel of John, this might be this season that we have in front of us. This might be a really good time to kind of come and spend some time inside this fascinating book. It is just really filled with a lot of incredible teaching and incredible thought that helps shape our faith life and how we understand and follow Jesus. So we will pick up kind of where we left off in some ways with this business of John's encounter with Jesus. You know, John baptized Jesus. And we will actually go to John chapter 1 and pick up with verses 35 through 51. And for these next several weeks, including our time in Lent, as it starts really soon. Did you know that Lent starts the 18th of February? So we're just around the corner from the beginning of the season of Lent. Throughout this winter and spring, we are going to be working inside of the Gospel of John. So we'll start with John chapter 1, verses 35 through, what did I say, 51. And it is a time where John is really kind of pointing out Jesus, but also Jesus is the beginning in a process of calling his disciples, of inviting people to be part of the work that he will do. So let me read this for you. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, and this will give you an opportunity to think and anticipate what's going on. The next day, John was standing again with his two disciples. By the way, you know, John's been saying things to his disciples about, you know, who Jesus is. So the next day, John was standing again with his two disciples, and when he saw Jesus walking along, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." She's pointing at him, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus replied, "Come and see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ, and he led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of God. You will be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Now Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the Law and the Prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" That's brutal. And Philip said, "Come and see." So Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe me? Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth onto me, the human one," he says, referring to himself, Jesus. This is God's word for us, and I really anticipate and appreciate the gift that it will be to reflect on this scripture and to spend time with you on Sunday. Even if it's on the screen, even if it's in person, may God bless us as we take our next steps together in this season and as we move closer to the celebration, the reminder and renewal of celebration for how Jesus has come and how that coming into this world changes everything, how his resurrection and his teaching and his life changes everything. So God bless you. Stay warm. Be sure to drink a lot of fluid to stay hydrated. And I will look forward to seeing you and being with you very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.